Today is the second Sunday of Advent, and we have a few announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. Today, there will be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. Sisters will be having a Christmas sale today after Mass in the hall. There are some beautiful things there, especially their books. Please go to the classroom after Mass today and pick up your dishes and containers from the cabinet. This Wednesday, the talk that we normally have on Wednesday evenings is canceled because of the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which is the next day, Thursday, December 8th. Feast of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is a holy day of obligation. If you're Catholic, you have to come to Mass that day. You have serious obligation, seriously bound to assist at Mass, if possible, on this holy day of obligation, Thursday, December 8th, Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And we have the solemn Mass at 9 a.m., and we have an evening Mass at 7 p.m. for those who cannot attend the solemn Mass. 9 a.m., 7 p.m. You can come to both if you want. This Saturday, December 10th, after the 8:30 a.m. Mass, there will be catechism classes for the children. Next Sunday is December 11th, and that is Gaudete Sunday. Mass is at 8 a.m., followed by the annual bake sale, sponsored by Servants of the Holy Family. Please bring your favorite baked items to the hall and be sure to price them. There are some beautiful feasts this week. Today is the feast of St. Peter Chrysologus, also commemoration normally today of St. Barbara, Virgin Martyr. Tomorrow is the commemoration of St. Sabas. Tuesday is the feast of the great Saint Nicholas. I wish we had time to tell you about Saint Nicholas. On Wednesday is the feast of Saint Ambrose. That's the 7th. Another great saint. And on Saturday is the commemoration of Saint Melchiades. The last of the Pope martyrs before the church was freed by Emperor Constantine. Not that he was the last of the Pope martyrs, some came later, but this was the last of the great persecution. So just to repeat the most important ones, don't forget Thursday, Holy Day of Obligation. Don't forget next Sunday, the bake sale. And also we have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening. Don't forget that. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. Brethren, whatever things have been written for our instruction, that through the patience and the consolation afforded by the Scriptures, we may have hope. May then the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind towards one another, according to Jesus Christ. that one in spirit you may with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive one another, even as Christ has received you, to the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus has been a minister of the circumcision in order to show God's fidelity in confirming the promises made to our fathers. But that the Gentiles glorify God because of his mercy, as it is written, therefore will I praise thee among the Gentiles, and will sing to thy name. And again he says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing his praises, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be the root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 to 10. At that time, when John had heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to say to him, art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answering said to them, go and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not scandalized in me. Then, as they went away, Jesus began to say to the crowds concerning John, what did you go out to the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind. But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, those who wear soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall make ready thy way before thee. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. First of all, it is paramount that we repeat something that you've heard over and over again, many of you, but we have to repeat it for those who have not heard it. You have to hear it again. So, it's very important that we know that Saint John, in this gospel, who sent these, he was in prison, and he sent his two disciples for all of the other disciples who were still loyal to him in prison. He sent them to ask our Lord and Savior this question. Are you the Savior of the world, or should we look for another? Do not make the terrible mistake of thinking even for a second that St. John doubted, because that's what it sounds like, doesn't it? Sounds like St. John was doubting whether or not this, our Lord and Savior, was the Savior of the world. And that is absolutely not true. And just, if that had been the case, then St. John would have been guilty of a grave sin. Especially just before his death. Well, this is impossible. This would have been especially true of St. John because he had received at least one direct revelation from the Blessed Trinity. He had seen and heard the Blessed Trinity saying that this was the Savior of the world. So this is not possible. So why did he do this? And the reason is, and by the way, before we go on, that is the proof of this, that he was not doubting the Savior, is that right after these men, or as they're walking away, Christ praises St. John. Praises him for this work that he has done in sending these two disciples. He says, "This is my angel." How could he praise him if he had just been guilty of a grave sin? So the reason that he sent his disciples to Christ was that they were, we can say, too loyal to him. And he knew for certain that if he sent them to the Son of God, that they would see that he was the Savior of the world. And that's exactly, we believe, what happened. St. Luke tells us this in this same event, that when these two disciples were there, they saw Christ working almost all of these miracles. And they heard him. And they saw the Savior of the world, the Son of God. They saw him face to face. And St. John knew that that was all that was necessary because these disciples were good men. We can't blame them for being loyal to St. John. After all, he was the greatest of all the saints. We don't include, of course, Blessed Mother, St. Joseph. Christ, remember, Christ said about him, "No man born of woman is greater than he." So imagine how loyal they must have, how much they must have loved St. John. In prison, suffering. Can't blame them. But we believe that they came back, at least after his death, after his martyrdom, and they became followers of Christ, and that they led the other disciples of St. John to the Savior of the world. So, on this day, second Sunday of Advent, we know that this is a time of penance and reparation and fervent prayer and preparation for what? Christmas Day, but especially the end of the world, right? Isn't that what we're all preparing for? That's what this season started out with last Sunday, talking about the end of the world. And that's what we are still doing all during this season. Preparation for the first coming once again on Christmas. The renewal of the birth of Christ. Looking forward to the end of the world. We look forward to it because that will be our glory, will it not? Are we not? Does it not appear that we are losing the battle? Not only personally because of all of our sufferings and our trials and tribulations, but it appears that the world is getting worse and worse. Constantly. So we look forward to the end, don't we? When we will all be with Christ in heaven. And so our Holy Mother, the Church, even though we are in this season of penance, cannot help but give us all of these magnificent prayers and scriptural readings to give us hope and joy and in expectation of the coming of Christ today. on the altar. And on Christmas Day, and because we have been saved, so to speak, not like the Protestants, but we have been redeemed, haven't we? If Christ had not come, we would all be lost forever. What happiness we should have because we have been saved, we have been redeemed. We don't deserve it, do we? And so we should all be filled with joy, especially on this day, this Sunday in Advent, with all of these scriptural readings about the infinite and unending love and mercy of God for all of us. Will come to us, especially on Christmas. Remember what our Father Superior told us last week, that not only does God dwell in us exactly as he does in heaven, the Blessed Trinity, if we are in the state of grace, hopefully, that he is constantly in us, not only through sanctifying grace, but through uncreated grace. God himself dwells in us. Remember, we were told that on Christmas Day, the baby Jesus, whom we receive in Holy Communion, prays our prayer. He prays all of our prayers. He can do that, can't he, as the Son of God? And he prays for us, with us. But it's good that we remember that because we want to pray with him, don't we? How much more can two people accomplish if they work together? What great things can be accomplished by working together? And this is the best example of all. Christ praying with us when we receive him in Holy Communion. How powerful our prayer is. So not only should we be doing penance, but we should have great confidence during these days, and we should be thanking God for all that we have received, for everything, especially our trials and tribulations, right? How much we should thank God for those. What great good they have done for us. Should thank him for everything, like Joyce Kilmer in that magnificent poem of his. And when he ends the prayer, his poem, by saying, "And oh, thank God for God." When we receive, we should remember that we want to be with God forever. When also, if we are fervent in our prayers, even if we cannot receive for whatever reason, we should desire to receive and to be with God. We should have a great desire be with God always in heaven. And if we pray for this end, especially on Christmas Day, maybe God will answer our prayer and we can go to heaven. We should plan on going to heaven for Christmas. If you're lucky, God will answer your prayer. This Christmas, over 150,000 people will die on Christmas Day. Maybe you will be one of them. When we offer the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, we think that this might be our last Mass. Sometimes we have trouble continuing the Mass because we think maybe God will take us right now because He loves to answer our prayers. And maybe on Christmas Day, in honor of this greatest event in all the history of the world, the greatest event that will ever happen, God becoming a man, maybe He will answer your prayers. If not the prayer to go to heaven, maybe He will answer some of your other prayers because of His great love and mercy. Do not, brethren, do not believe, please, the lies that the so-called geniuses of the world constantly spew out, the mathematicians and the scientists, so-called professors, who tell us about infinite this and infinite that, infinite numbers, infinite universe. Idiots. One thing is infinite, and that is God. There is nothing else that's infinite. God and His perfections. Everything else is finite. Don't forget that. But there is one thing about God that is spoken of more than all of His infinite perfections as being infinite, and that is His mercy. His infinite mercy. And the reason, one of the reasons we speak about His infinite mercy more than all of His other perfections as being infinite is because we need it so much, don't we? How much we need God's mercy. We can say a million reasons why God came on earth. We have mentioned many of them to you over and over again. But there is only one that is the most important above all of the others. And it's mentioned many times in sacred scripture. And that is that He came on earth to save us. So He came on earth for mercy. That's why He came. We can say, so to speak, not for any other reason, but just to save you and me. How much we owe Him. How thankful we should be. Because even though Adam and Eve sinned, these great saints, that's what they were. They were holy. They were very holy. They had been given the prayer of the mystic union. God walked with them. That's what it says. That's what that means. Given the highest degree of prayer. And God allowed them to fall. He had to allow it. What we mean by that is, it would not have happened if He had not allowed it by withdrawing Himself in some way. Just as the gift of praying always. How many times have we told you to pray always? This is a gift which God can give us. Constant prayer. We should, of course, The reason we tell you to pray always, and we're repeating Christ's own words, is because that's what he said, and it can be done, and we should make every attempt possible to do it, to pray at every moment. But we cannot do it without his assistance. And so this is a very special gift. It's almost a promise of salvation. We say almost because as long as we are praying, we are safe. Everyone who is praying is safe. As soon as you stop praying, then you're in danger. But see, you see, God is not necessitated to continue to give us this gift. He can withdraw, and so we can fall. So pray always, brethren. And do not be discouraged when your prayers are not answered. They may not be answered as long as you live. There are many reasons why God does not answer our prayers, which we have told you before. But we would ask you this, first of all, how many of us would continue to pray and to pray fervently to God if all of our prayers were answered? So clearly, one of the reasons, the most important reason he does not answer our prayers is that so we will continue to pray. They compare his attempts, so to speak, to convince us to pray to someone trying to get money from a miser. How difficult is that? Almost impossible. And that is what God is up against, trying to convince us to pray always, to continue our petitions, to continue to love him at every moment. So he increases by not answering our prayers, he increases our patience, our merit. How much more merit will we have in heaven if we continue to ask? We overcome our sloth. Not mostly the sloth that so many people think of when they think of someone being lazy. You imagine them sitting, maybe sleeping, or sitting in front of a television or a computer doing nothing that is useful. But that's not the primary problem with this fault of sloth. It's sloth of mind, laziness of mind, laziness of soul. That's the main problem. We can work all day long with our body. How much do we use our soul when we are working? We can work all day and be lazy, can't we? So this is what God is trying to accomplish by not answering our prayers. Remember what we have told you in the past. He sees our hearts, brethren. He sees our hearts better than we do. This is what frightens us. He knows me better than I do. He knows my faults. Very frightening. So ask that you can have a new heart. Don't let him see those things going on in your heart. Ask for a new one. Get a new heart, brethren. One we have is no good. Redouble your efforts for this Advent in preparation for Christmas. Ask for the gift of a new heart. And maybe, hopefully, this will be the prayer that will be answered for this Christmas holiday coming up. And God bless you.